You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
She doesn't ever stay in bed all morning just to pass the time. She's one of my hardworking colleagues right here at Civic Media. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're celebrating Women's History Month today. Welcome back to the show if you're rejoining us. Welcome if you've just tuned in. And as promised, I've got my very fabulous colleague, Melissa Kay, whom you hear on the dial up in WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Welcome to the show, Melissa. I can't wait to talk to you about your experiences as a woman in media.
Thank you, Maggie. I'm delighted to be here. It's so excellent to talk with you.
It's nice. The last time we saw each other was almost a year ago at the Wisconsin Broadcaster Association Awards. So I love a good excuse for us to catch up and learn a little bit more about each other and share it with each and every one of you who are listening. Mm-hmm. Melissa, we all have these fascinating stories about how we end up in broadcasting and radio specifically, which is its own little unique place in the media landscape these days. Tell folks a little bit about you, Melissa, and how you came to be in broadcasting.
Well, you know, I have what could be termed an interesting story of how I got here. Not to start with, I was born in, but
where it works, it works. If it's relevant, it's part of your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am going to go all the way back to grade school. I attended a one-room country schoolhouse for grades 1 through 8. And I was part of a high-control religious group, otherwise known as a cult.
High-control religious group. That's a new euphemism. I'm gonna have to write that one down. High-control religious group. What part of the state are you from, Melissa,
if you don't mind sharing? A little central-ish Wisconsin. Okay. I grew up in the Thomas-Sparta area.
Know it well. Good friends from Sparta, including a guy who owned a fabulous restaurant right here in Milwaukee, Justin Carlisle, but I've digressed. Thomas Sparta area, high control religious group. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then from eighth grade, I went to a boarding academy at the age of 13, for my freshman year in high school. And again, that was within this religious group, and we were required to work as, to earn our keep, so to speak, there. Because it's very expensive. And then I didn't enter the quote unquote real world until I was a sophomore in high school, halfway through my 10th grade of high school, before I got to go to a public school.
Wow. What brought about the change from the boarding school to a public high school?
Well, my parents had divorced, which is why we went to the boarding school, and which is not acceptable, obviously, in a high control religious group like that. Mm-hmm. But I moved home because I was so homesick. I was just, it was awful. And then I was homeschooled, but I was alone all the time. And I was so just, I begged to be allowed to like take extracurricular classes. And fortunately, the counselor that we met with at the high school convinced my mom to let me just enroll and finish out my high school years in a public school.
Was your mind just blown?
You know, it yes. I mean, it was such a unreal, like I had no basis for so many of the other things that all of these other kids my age had. And I didn't, you know, I joke on air that I grew up under a rock, because I don't, you know, we weren't allowed to watch television. We weren't allowed to talk about television if we did get to watch, you know, movies at home. Or, you know, I had books confiscated, books that I bought at a religious camp confiscated through a, you know, I mean, our food was controlled, what we were allowed to eat, not allowed to eat, what we were allowed to wear and not wear. So it was a very high control group. And I was pretty much in that into my 20s, where I actually then taught at the one room schoolhouse that I attended.
No kidding.
At 19 with a high school graduate degree, you know, like that's it. That's right. All the schooling I had. And then I was teaching the next generation of these kids growing up in this high control group and the church. And then I also, I attempted to escape by marrying at the age of 19.
Wow.
And I married a man who was 20 years older than me because that was part of the expectation. The woman was subservient. The expectation was to.
Yeah, it's what you're describing, Melissa, if I can just jump in.
Yeah.
It seems to me, and I am not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm not an expert in cults, but it seems to me the things that you are describing have an alarming rate of frequency. Like there are some characteristics that seem to be consistent even in just sort of pop cultural understanding mm-hmm. of what we colloquially refer to as cults, which is women kind of as second class citizens,
yes,
young women marrying, labor being required, mm-hmm. being provided for free.
We are the nurturers and the carers.
Yes.
Yep.
All of those things. What led to you eventually leaving this high control religious group and of all industries ending up in media?
Well, I escaped the then narcissistic marriage, which is another type of cult in itself, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. far as like high control. And that's very, very common from what I've been learning with cult survivors is that they end up in easily falling prey to another one, especially in your younger years and as you're trying to escape, because the man I married couldn't have been more opposite of, you know, a religious person. But he was a narcissist.
Yeah, narcissists are their own little cults, aren't they? It's like the cult of one, and everybody's got to do what I need. But
the cult of the personality.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And everybody, you know, loves them. Their outward, what they portray to the world and to other people is wonderful. It's great. They're nice people. They're charismatic. They're, you know, but the truth of what they do and how they control people is completely unhealthy. But I did manage to escape that after many attempts, and mostly because my mom was dying of cancer. Mm. And I realized what was more important to me was being able to take care of her and not trying to fix him, because there was no fixing him.
Yeah. The very practical need to be there for your mom. Mm-hmm.
And nurture and care again.
Required some clarity about your other problematic situation. Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined by my colleague, Melissa Kay. She's with me here at Civic Media. You can hear Melissa on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM. She is currently working on an interim basis as our news director. One of the things, again, like as we were talking about all of this, Melissa, is how we each bring our own experiences into media. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested, people sort of claim with some frequency these days that people who are very, very strong Trump supporters, not the reluctant Trump voter, not the like, he's a bad guy and he probably has no real moral center and he's super transactional, but boy, I like tax cuts for billionaires and corporations, so I'll vote for Trump. Not those people, but the really super diehard MAGAs. Many of us, and I certainly have in the past, referred to it as a cult or having the characteristics of a cult, mm-hmm. which to me very euphemistically seemed to always connote this very rigidity of belief. And absolutely, if you deviate from the core set of tenets, principles, and beliefs, you will be expelled and have absolutely no professional or social or familial support systems, because it seems that kind of is the rule when it comes to the MAGAs. Are you seeing those? You know this better than anyone I've ever personally spoken to. Do you see those similarities, Melissa?
Well, you know, there's a very structure to what makes up a cult. And someone that I've been following a little bit, she's a scholar of cults, extreme groups, and extremely bad leadership is how she determines herself, Daniela Mestinek-Young. And she outlines 10 things that make it a cult. And number one thing is charismatic leadership. Mm. A worldview that brings you under the sacred assumption is the next one. And then they have a transcendent mission. That's number three. Number four
maybe is like to save America and return it to its great state based mm-hmm. on a male-centric Judeo-Christian nationalist sort of viewpoint. I'm being glib, but it's
no.
What do we have here? Correct. So we've got charismatic leader. We've one set of sort of core beliefs. Mm-hmm. What was the third thing, Melissa?
The transcendent mission ship or transcendent mission.
Save the world. We're doing this big thing, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number four is self-sacrificing membership. So, we're going to have to suffer a little bit while things are leveling out here in the economic state we find ourselves in. Number five is limiting access to the outside world. So keeping that narrow focus, that narrow view, one media source to tell you what's going on. Number six, distinguishable vernacular. I would say that could be maybe the name calling, the way that they talk down to other people. Number seven.
I might actually be guilty of that on occasion myself, Melissa, but we'll leave that behind.
I'm clearly
not a cult leader.
Number seven, the us versus them mentality, the othering.
Yes.
Because others are bad. Others are not us. Number eight exploits manual labor.
The labor element. Yep.
And number nine, you mentioned this, the high entrance and exit costs, because as you try to exit a cult, you become shunned. You lose your entire social, group.
Yes.
And then number 10 is the ends justifies the means mentality.
Well, that goes hand in hand with having a transcendent objective. If we're all saving the world here, then anything is okay because the opposite, the alternative is just simply unacceptable. Folks, we're going to have to take care of a little bit of business. When we come back, I'm going to be joined again by my friend Melissa Kay, colleague here at Civic Media. She's been sharing her personal experiences growing up in a high-control religious group and how that's helped her be a better news director, a better broadcaster. We're going to put all those linkages together, celebrating women in media for this Women's History Month right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Is MAGA a cult? The conversation continues after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Oh, don't you all wish she could fly away sometimes? My current guest in this half an hour has been sharing some of her experiences in a high-control religious group. Her name's Melissa Kay. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Melissa and I are colleagues at Civic Media. You can hear Melissa on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We've been talking about these high-control religious groups, aka cults. Melissa, you shared the 10 characteristics of such cults that were put together by a woman by the name of Daniela
Mestinek.
Oh, my goodness.
Mestinek.
Okay. Young, which you can find on YouTube. She is known as the knitting cult lady. We will put her actual name so that you don't have to try to figure out how to spell it from my mispronunciation, and the link to her YouTube channel in our show notes for today. Five things of the 10 that popped out to the top that really I went, oh yes, that's mm-hmm. And I think there are some similarities with MAGA. We're the charismatic leader, the transcendent mission, this idea that it's like good versus evil, which then bleeds into this other characteristic of us versus them, control of information sources, saying, you know, you really, this is all unreliable. You cannot read or look at any of this other alternative information. It's all lies. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, this concept of ends justifying means. So I wanted to come back to this, Melissa. Are you seeing, based on your experience, I mean, by your own account, and thank you for your bravery in sharing it, it is certainly unique. You grew up in a cult. You eventually were able to leave, gain some perspective. Do you see cult-like characteristics in the more extreme MAGA factions?
I do, and I'm not alone in saying that. There are many other people who are far more educated than me and a lot further along on their deconstruction from having, you know, being a cult survivor. And they say that, you know, it's that the fear-mongering, the othering, the only taking in that certain media. I mean, we know what media source they're taking in, and you can hear it. And even people who don't necessarily take in media, because this is something I hear pretty often. I don't watch any news. I don't pay attention to anything. But you hear the talking points. You hear them, but I'm like, okay, but you're repeating all of the buzzwords and all of the talking points that are coming from the MAGA group. And that just... But I do also want to give hope, you know. Yes. I mean, it is possible to come out of this, and you need to have that breakthrough moment, that realizing that there's something not quite right. You know, if you can't ask questions, if you can't question your leadership, if there are barriers that stop you from wanting to, you know, do more or work more, or, you know, those are all things that should make you question.
Yeah, it's so interesting to have this discussion. And in my head, I've got this, the back and forth that I sometimes hear from listeners. Well, you're just a hyper partisan. You've got the liberal talking points. Maybe, okay, let's just take that, you know, at face value and assume the argument is true. That doesn't lead me to say you're an evil person and should be expelled from this country and have no voice and you need to be silenced or any of that. It's sort of the extremist reactions to differences of opinion. I don't believe that people generally are people operating in bad faith. I don't like approaching the world in terms of good and evil. I don't think it's a helpful way to approach political dialogues or religious ones for that matter, right? Like if we're taking a broader lens on all this. Mm-hmm.
Tag on to that. With the push of the Christianity part of this and the MAGA movement and Christianity, I can tell you from having I'm pretty sure that I have memorized more Bible verses than any of our politicians have ever read, like actually memorized. And I can tell you with some surety, they are not following the teachings of Jesus. They are not, because Jesus taught to love others, to take care of others, to take care of the sick, to feed the poor, to... You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they look like or how dirty they are or what they've done. He forgave, you know, so many people for the things, the sins.
Right. It's that antitheticalness to the most fundamental idea of Christianity, the thing that separates it from all other major world religions, of which there's maybe three or four, depending on who you're talking to at the day, is the idea through complete humility. and asking for forgiveness, you can become forgiven, and that you are called to act in that way towards all other people, regardless of background, race, creed, their particular religious beliefs, their sexual identity, right? All of those things. It's all of a sudden, whoop, the most important characteristics of Christianity, right out the window. It is truly a head scratcher for me. Mm-hmm. Melissa, we've just got a little bit of time left. I wondered, can you share just a little bit of insight into how your particularly unique life experiences help you and make you the broadcaster that you are at WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM?
I do feel like my role in media is to be a bridge, to help people to understand that, you know, even when these things happen to you or you fall into a cult, it's not that hard. MLMs could be considered a cult. Yoga could be considered a cult. I mean, there's so many options of what could be called that. You have options. You don't have to be there. And I also feel like I'm helping and also working on finding my own voice, but also helping other women find their voice and be able to speak for themselves. And I do really honestly believe in civic media's message of local and bringing our communities together. And that's what we need. We need to come together. We need to build our communities. We need to focus local.
That woman is on fire. You can hear her voice. That is Melissa Kay on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM. We come back, we're going to continue this discussion about women in media, celebrating Women's History Month here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network with one of my favorite women in media, my very own senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Keep it locked. We dive right back in after these brief messages. Have something to say about it. I'm so excited to talk with my next guest in today's celebration of Women's History Month here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Big thanks to my colleague Melissa Kay for hanging out with us a little bit and so bravely sharing about her upbringing and background and her long and winding road to radio. I'm really excited to be joined by another one of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. You all know her if you've been listening to the show. She's the one that helps me color in between the lines and gives me permission when I can get to color outside the lines. My fabulous senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Welcome to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here with me.
Well, I'm so excited. And I have to say, it makes me a little nervous. Like, I could do the radio thing, but then really diving in to talk about myself and my experience, that always makes me a little bit more nervous. And by the way, I never advocated for my own children to color inside the lines. I was totally okay with letting them do whatever they wanted creatively on a piece of paper. So never color within the lines unless somebody tries to force you to, but that's just boring as far as I'm concerned.
Lines? What lines?
Well, right?
Jamie, you've been in broadcasting for quite some time. You have done a number of jobs within broadcasting. Tell people a little bit about it, how long you've been doing this, and we're going to delve a bit more into the femaleness of the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So 27 years is how long I've been doing.
27.
I know. Yeah, 27 years. I started when I was 19 years old. I had just transferred back to my hometown college, a liberal arts college, Dakota Wesleyan University. George McGovern was a graduate of Dakota Wesleyan, in case anybody wants to go into their history books. My whole family had really graduated from Dakota Wesleyan. I tried to be different. I tried to go to a different liberal arts school for a year. It didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. So I went home, and I really loved my time at Wesleyan. I was a communications, journalism, English, poli-sci person. All of those things eventually fell into some sort of major or minor. I don't actually really remember what I graduated with. My family would tell you it's all absolutely pointless. So that's where we stand with that. But I, you know, I was listening to Jane a little earlier today,
yes.
And she was talking about how she always knew she wanted to get into the entertainment industry of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't really my thing at all. I had started down this path of going into journalism, and I was working part time at the world's only Corn Palace. And this is a gig that I had done during the summer months as a tour guide. And during the school year, when it would transform back into the city civic center, we would host a lot of area sports along with a lot of concerts. So I was helping manage the concession stand. So,
and you're talking about like the Corn Palace,
yes,
in South Dakota.
Yes.
Corn Palace.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Corn by number on the outside of the building, if you've ever been. And so that doesn't pay a lot of bills, though. A couple hours, couple times a week.
At the Corn Palace?
I'm an only... Yeah, no. And this is 98. So, you know, minimum wage is what it was. And my parents, as an only child, they helped out where they could, but I needed more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so started applying at different media outlets, including the local newspaper. And even in 98, there wasn't a lot of people hiring for the local newspapers. And then I went into the radio station and met with the general manager, who, you'll love this, he went to the old dot matrix printer, right?
Oh, yes.
Where all of the AP news came in.
Where you had to like rip off the sides.
Yes.
Because it was perforated.
I love that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was very satisfying, by the way. I still love that. So he rips off the story. He sets me in a chair behind a microphone and he's like, we're going to record you, read the story, and then we'll talk. I read this story, 15, 30 seconds of my life, and he comes back around the corner and says, well, the good news is you can read. You're hired. Okay. And it turned out that this was the Heritage Country Station. And in about a month from the time I was in that chair reading, mm-hmm, that piece of news, they were going to be signing on a 100,000 watt oldie station, which is, if you know anything about radio,
it's big.
That's the highest wattage you can go. And it was South Dakota, where I always say there's nothing to stop the signal. Here in Wisconsin, we are lucky to have trees and bluffs and rivers and lakes. You got nothing in South Dakota. It is just open prairie.
You got the Corn Palace. The Corn Palace.
The Corn Palace. That's right. We covered 22 counties on that oldie,
wow,
station. It was huge. And I started by doing some basic stuff, doing a lot of board hopping. Eventually, all of those skills transferred into me doing a live nightly show, which was an all-request show. And my all-request show eventually grew in popularity. And I had some nights up to 200 calls, which is not an exaggeration. It's actually where I met my husband. By the way, that's a whole different story. We hated each other when we met each other.
You have never told me this. Well, we're going to basically have to have a whole story about how you hated Corey when you met him. I love that. I mean, I don't love that. I love that there's a juicy story there.
Yes. This is a great story. I had been diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 19 years old. So when he came to the station, it was over my summer break, and I had been at the Mayo Clinic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to do some testing, figure out how my endo was reacting, why it was so bad. There was just this whole conglomeration of stuff happening. So when he came in, I was basically gone for an entire month. And all he heard about was me, how you couldn't play songs that you wanted to play. Only I could do that. Don't take requests because only she can do that. And he's like, who
is
this
person? Yes. Hilarious.
I was even paid to do some endorsements for the local grocery chain. And when he pulled into town, that's the first thing he heard. And he was like, who is this person? Well, eventually one time we met, did not like each other, mostly because if he wanted to hear a song that he wanted to hear, you know, basically a request, he had to call me. And he had to call me and participate in my show. And he didn't like that at all. And then one night he stayed behind at the station after his shift was done, because he was also the production director, to get a bunch of production done. 100,000 watt station covering 22 counties. We had a lot of commercials that always needed to be done. And my phones were just like, it was a Friday night. Everything was crazy. I knew my callers by voice. They didn't even have to tell me their names. And he stayed behind to help answer phones. And he saw me editing on a mini disc player. Now, if you don't know anything about radio.
Oh, I remember these.
Okay. They look like these little teeny tiny, basically floppy disks for a computer, right? And you have to put them in a special mini disc player, and there's a dial, and you go forward, you go backwards, you got to like chop and cut, and you got to do it all manually. Well, one of the biggest songs that people requested on my night show was Little Willie by Sweet. And so I banked that whole night. About the first 10 minutes of the night, I knew how it was going to go, right? Mm-hmm. So I banked all of these people calling to request Little Willie. And he came into the studio, and I had about a minute before I had to hit Little Willie, and I was going to hit the ramp, which is that intro part of a song, if you're not familiar with us, our professional radio terms.
Yes.
And I gave him the finger, like, you know, just a minute. You don't talk to me right now, because I had to finish editing all of these different voices.
Requests,
because I did
yeah.
a live. So I did this live intro, and I'm like, what do you want to hear tonight? So it was all these people going, I want to hear Little Willie, Little Willie, Little Willie. It was all of this. And I hit the post.
Yes.
And he says that's when he fell in love. And the rest is history, I guess.
I'm going to summarize your story by saying your sheer professional competence and excellence is what won your hubby over.
I think so. I'm lucky. I'm lucky. He's a good guy. I think everybody at Civic would attest to that. He is a good guy.
Sure, and
so we're
good
going
man.
22 years in
wow.
April. We've been married.
Wow.
So,
happy early anniversary to Jamie
and Corey. Thank you. We eloped.
A whole episode on elopements.
It is.
Let me ask you this. What has your experience been like as a woman working in broadcasting in all kinds of different markets?
Yeah, because I eventually went on to produce in TV, where our general manager called me Little Girl. That's how he referred to me.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a TV station called Kello TV in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. At the time I took over the 5 p.m. news, it had a 50 share. And again, if you don't know anything about how ratings work, that meant that 50% of the TVs in that market were watching Kello's 5 p.m. news. It was the highest rated basically night show in the country at the time. And that was the show they put me on. And our GM, he proceeded to tell me that I can take you out of that seat as fast as I put you in that seat, and reminded me of the ratings every single day. And then every time he talked to me, he would refer to me as Little Girl. So that was one of my.
So what you're saying, it was like deeply respectful and very empowering. He was just setting you up for success.
Sure. That's what we'll go
with.
That's
one take. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the moments that stuck out to me, and I agree with Jane, even in 98, I was, other than our sales staff, I was the only female in the building as far as the on-air staff went. And so, even in 1998, we hadn't made a lot of strides. Even working in radio, when I was going through the process of being diagnosed with endometriosis, my program director told me I was crazy, that there wasn't actually anything wrong with me. I was just trying to get out of work. And then eventually
he had a ton of experience with endometriosis.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because being in that much pain and being that miserable is what we all want in life. Let me tell you.
Yes.
And then when we were still at the station, we had our first son. And I only had a 10% chance of having my boys. So we knew that the pregnancies were going to be really difficult. And this one is probably the one that sticks out to me the most, because it was actually our female sales manager who said these words to me. We were doing this Yellow Dime promotion where, you know, ethanol, we were promoting that at gas stations. We would go out and pump people's gas. And if you got a Yellow Dime, it's your cash back. You got like your free tank of gas. And we had to spray paint all these dimes in the basement of the radio station. And I was allowed to go in to do my shift because I had really tough pregnancies. And in radio, you sit a lot. And then I had to go home and go straight back into bed. And that was how I got through the 9 months of my first pregnancy. And one day I had to bring in a doctor's note because we were about to go out and pump people's gas for 4 hours. And I said to my doctor, I said, do you want me doing this? And she said, absolutely not.
Right.
So at my appointment, she wrote a note and I took it into the general manager of the station and I took it into our sales manager. As a mom of three little girls herself, she comes into my studio. She's just livid with me. And she goes, and her words to me were actually this. If having a baby was going to be this difficult, why did you even bother? And this is coming from a female GM or sales manager, I should say. And I was stunned. And I finished my shift that day. And I went home and obviously already having a really hard pregnancy. I'm in tears. Finally, I realized, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to cry about this. That's her problem, not mine. And about a year later, after Max was born, year and a half later, we completely left that station. The ownership was phenomenal. We loved our owners. It was just the management that tended to get a little off-putting is the nicest way I can say it.
Off-putting. I'm writing that down as a reminder to myself. Yes. My own little girl story. And folks, if you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, who's worked in broadcasting, both TV and radio, for over 27 years, starting when she was 19. I was taking notes. She's here with me today because we're celebrating Women's History Month and taking some time to talk about women in broadcasting. Very briefly, my little girl equivalent from a male colleague occurred after I had spent numerous years litigating at one of the largest law firms in the world based out of New York. I lived there and worked abroad, Hong Kong, Shanghai, London, kind of, you know, the top of the heap sort of thing. And I had decided to go into the public sector to give back. And I was in a meeting getting introduced to opposing counsel that I was going to have a bunch of cases against when I worked for the city of Milwaukee. And at one point during the meeting, this older male lawyer reached over, put his hand on my knee, patted my knee, and said, "I'm sure you'll figure all of this out soon enough, young lady." I was 33 at the time. And I thought, I cannot wait to eat your lunch in court. I smiled, thanked him for his confidence, and proceeded to do just that in the coming months. You're going to not want to go anywhere to hear what's coming next with my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. She makes me sound better every day, along with Calvin on the board. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Women's History Month. Stay with us. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Women's History Month to each and every one of you. We're celebrating it today here on the show and started off with a professor of gender studies from the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. We've had a couple of my incredible female colleagues here at Civic Media, including the always amazing, well-known, I don't know,
what's the queen of radio?
Yeah, the queen of radio, Jane Matner, and my colleague Melissa Kay followed Jane. And now it would only be appropriate to close out these 2 hours with my senior producer on this fine program, Jamie Martinson, who's been doing this for far longer than I have, starting at the tender young age of 19 years old in broadcast, a career spanning multiple states, both TV and radio. And Jamie, I just wanted to say this. Being able to work with someone to do this kind of work, which is unscripted, right? It's not like TV where you're going to read copy and there's a monitor. Sometimes there's some ad-libbing. This is incredibly extemporaneous. It requires a partnership amongst you and me and Cal on the board. It requires so much. And I just wanted to say thank you. It's really been an incredible pleasure to work with you and Cal these last couple of months and to benefit from all of your experience and incredible work ethic. So thank you very much, my friend.
Well, thank you. You make the job super fun. And I love that I basically toss you an idea and you're like, yes, let's try it. So I can always appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I'm not really a no person. It's like most of the time, if there's a way to yes, you're like, let's try that. Let's do something new. And that partnership, again, with you and Cal, as importantly, has been really a pleasure. I wanted to ask you specifically, you have been a working mom for a long time. Mm-hmm. You homeschooled your fabulous kids.
I still do. Yeah.
While working, you
I did yeah.
have pulled this off. When I hear about everything that you've got going on, I think, why am I not doing more? What's it been like, especially in broadcast, right? There's this urgency because it's like we're going on air. It's a very jealous mistress, I like to put it, because it's always in your head. How have you balanced work and family and all of these different roles? And frankly, you got to go to work and then deal with all of us weird personality types floating around. It's a lot, let's just say. How do you manage all of it?
I've been very, very lucky, honestly. My husband is an engineer by nature and by trade as well. So he's been able to make sure I've had really great home studios over the course of time, too. So that's really, really helped. And really just having a network of people. I mean, when my boys were really, really young, both of my boys are very, very neurodivergent, which is why we chose to homeschool. One is on the spectrum, doing amazing things in Milwaukee at MATC, following mom and dad's footsteps in broadcasting. And our younger one is also, he's also very neurodivergent. He has a lot of anxiety, OCD. School was just never the right setting for them. So you do what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. And some days, I'll be honest, some days I felt like super mom. And then there were other days we'd get to the end of the day and I'd be like, I really sucked today. Like, I can say that about myself. Yeah. I sucked today. We didn't do as much school as we wanted. I didn't get as far as I wanted. And you know what? That's okay. Because at the end of the day, my kids were loved. They were being taken care of. We were doing what we needed to for them. And that was the most important thing. And Corey and I have had this conversation over the years, because sometimes I think, what would have happened had my plan originally worked out? My plan was to have a job, to be at home with them for, you know, 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. Once I get into school full time, go find a job again. And that was just not how it worked out for us. So I had to figure out a way to do what I do. Because being a stay-at-home mom, if you've been that route, it's tough. Financially, it can be financially tough. Mentally, it can be financially tough. It can be alienating. It can be isolating. And so you really have to try to find a balance. Was I always good at it? I'll be honest and say no. But most of the time, again, if my kids at the end of the day could giggle and laugh and give me a hug and we could forget anything that bad that happened that day, and I put bad in air quotes because it was usually worse for me and I had more guilt than they even realized. But, you know, I look at them now at the age of 21 and 18, and my younger one will be graduating from high school this year, the older one from MATC in the spring. They're amazing humans. They're amazing humans. And I am so stinking proud of my boys. And I know how far they've come, though, too.
I know, you should be. I've gotten to meet your eldest and work with him a bit, and he's lovely and wonderful, which is no surprise, knowing both you and your husband, Corey. We've got just a wee bit over a minute left, Jamie. What, as someone who homeschooled, who was a working mom, who dealt with an industry, frankly, pretty openly hostile to women, what's your advice to women that may find themselves in a similar and sometimes overwhelming spot?
I'm going to start out by saying the same thing I said to you at the beginning. Don't color inside the line. That's honestly, because sometimes you've got to figure out your own way. You've got to make your own path. And sometimes you have to be persistent. And I will always say, don't be annoyingly persistent, but persistent enough that they can't forget you're in the room. That's probably my biggest advice. Never color inside the line.
One of my great heroes, Jamie Martinson, echoing a great Milwaukee legend, Vel Phillips. She said this to women: once you get your seat at the table, don't ever get up. Folks, that's going to do it for me today. Happy Women's History Month. Please find a rock star boss woman that you know in your life that is getting it done, doing the juggling act, and tell her that she's awesome. We do not tell women this enough. Please say thank you. Tell her you love her. Tell her you appreciate what a badass she is. We all need to hear that. Thanks for listening. You got Dom Salvia coming up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for women.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.